welcome to Diary of the Suburban Hood Moms.
Real talk with real sisters. I'm Nikki.
I'm Andrea.
And this is episode Happy Christmas.
Sponsored by Victus Equities, helping people build wealth and retirement through real estate. Today is Monday, November 30th, 2020. Tomorrow's officially December. Yeah. I don't know why I'm excited about it, though.
I'm not either. I don't have a single gift bought.
I'm starting. Normally, this time last year, I was almost done.
Well, remember back a long, long time ago, there was a place called Toys R Us.
Oh, my gosh.
And by now, I would have had my layaway ready for pickup. But instead, this year, I have nothing bought.
It's kind of a drag. Like, I don't even like the idea. Like, everything's going to be bought online. I'm not going to go into an actual store once this year.
Yeah.
Because not even because I'm technically afraid of COVID. I mean, I'm a little freaked out about it. But more, I'm so sick of wearing a mask all the time that I'm like, wear a mask or just shop from home. I'd rather just shop from home.
That's the truth.
So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm more excited because like the tree is going to go up today.
Yeah.
Kids are back at remote learning. My kids are. Antonia is still out. But this time around, I think I feel more at peace with it. Because I don't know if we said this last week or not. But I was like, it was like a new kind of stress.
Yeah, you said that.
I said that, right?
I think so.
So there's a part of me that's like, you know what? And honestly, I'm saying this right now. I fully intend on maximizing the amount of days that they're allowed to miss.
Oh, you told me that yesterday.
I'm just like, I don't care. The amount of time that these the amount of time that these kids spend in front of a computer, I'm like, take the day. Take the whole fucking day off. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because really, it's like, what are they going to do? Go from being straight A students to straight B students? Oh, no. I don't give two fucks anymore.
That's your gangster
code. Seriously. Right now. I put my tiger mom away.
You know how you said, I don't know if I said this before on here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know if we said it in one of our million conversations.
Or if we've said it on the podcast. I know.
Yeah.
It's really like an alternate universe.
Andrew wants to talk about the meat sweats.
First, we hope you all had, if you celebrate Thanksgiving where you are, and however you're choosing to celebrate it, if you wanted to boycott it and call it, what do we call it? Our sister-in-law? Colonizer. Boycott the colonizers.
Like, sister-in-law? What?
You want to boycott the colonizers? Hey, more power to you. I personally choose to be very thankful for this life that I have, however I came about having it. In trying to give a positive spin to the colonization of the Native Americans, considering that we definitely have Native American blood coursing through our veins, mm-hmm. had it not been colonized, we could be like beating clothes against a rock somewhere.
Maybe. Who knows?
Right?
Nobody knows.
So, I mean, at least we're here and everyone in our life is relatively healthy.
Not mentally.
But we're
physically.
But we're together. No one's starving. No one's hurting. And so, anyway, however you chose to celebrate or not celebrate the holiday, we hope that no one's indigestion was too bad. But on the topic of indigestion.
Well, I was halfway through my plate and you're like, did you go take something for your stomach?
I had to stop my second spouse from eating. And I was like, did you take something for your stomach? Because
we do have divorce talks on the table right now.
Because we're talking about divorce, but that we'll get to that. Because Nikki is notorious for when the rich holiday foods come. Okay.
I can't handle anything but like fruit,
salad,
vegetables, and salad.
Right. But
anything else, I'm gonna die.
The birthday party foods. She can't resist the holiday foods. So I was like, I saw her serving herself. I'm like, stop. Did you take a Prilosec?
I was like, let me go take it right now.
Right. So she went and took it. Then afterwards, so it's like, okay, eating and then we're done. It was a very small gathering. It was a very quiet Thanksgiving.
But like halfway. So first of all, let's back up. There's so many sides that I have to have two plates. And because I don't like all my food touching either. I don't like food piling on top.
See, I'm more just slop it all together. It's all going in the same place anyway. And actually, I like the combinations of flavors. So I like to like combine like the flavors, so right?
I can have my ham and my turkey and my stuffing on one plate together.
Right.
But I just got to have it separate. So I have two plates. And halfway, I'm done with the first plate and my stomach, I'm like,
oh, it's my got stomach the storm starting hurts. To gather.
It's and like instantly, rumble, rumble. It's like you could have had one of those time lapse cameras on it because then it starts to puff until I get to 9 month pregnancy. And like, I'm like third trimester turkey. And I'm like, why did I eat this food?
So then she sits down and she's just like, I don't feel so good. And I'm like, do you have the meat sweats?
And I didn't yet.
And she hadn't had it yet. So this fascinates me because I have never experienced the meat sweats like ever. And I love meat.
Who gets it besides me? Dave?
I don't know.
Somebody else gets the meat sweats.
Dad used to get the meat sweats.
Our oldest brother gets the meat sweats.
I don't understand it.
I think Fluffer does.
Fluffer might get it. But I don't understand the concept of the meat sweats.
I don't know.
I don't know if it just... Is it like the ketones? Is it like, is it your
iron?
Your body is like,
because I don't get it from like chicken and turkey.
Yeah, you get it from like red
meat. I get it from meat.
But we didn't have meat.
We had ham. And ham's really salty though, too.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Swine's a filthy animal.
Don't say that. It tastes so good. It does. And one of the cleanest pets to have. But so then later on, I'm like sitting there. I'm like, it's kind of hot in here. Everybody else is fine. And I'm like,
oh, here come the meat sweats.
Right.
So I just find this a fascinating topic. So I don't know if you can relate to Nikki on this thing, you know, give her like a high five or something, because I'm like, oh, she's going to get the meat. I really have to think about a menu sometimes before I cook something, because I'm like, oh, then Nikki's going to get the meat sweats. And then she's like, she can't participate in anything. She's sitting there.
I'm miserable.
In her favorite chair in my house going.
I'm miserable. Because then I'm so hot and I can't cool down. And then Zachums wants to come and coddle me. And I'm like, don't touch me. But that's why we only have red meat once a week in my house, because I can't handle it.
Even in small amounts, you get the meat sweats? Yeah.
In the words of Zachums, you just can't handle that good food, babe.
Oh, God. Okay, speaking of Nikki's bodily functions, so she had a dream.
So I text Andrew the other morning because I didn't want to forget to tell her. So is it a hypothesis? Has it been proven? I don't know.
I think it's just a theory.
If you pee in your sleep, that you really pee in real life. So.
Oh, wait. The hypothesis is an unproven theory.
Yes.
Or is a theory an unproven hypothesis? I forgot.
I forget. I think a hypothesis is an unproven theory. I don't know. Somebody's going to fact check us.
Yeah,
whatever. I don't care. Fact check my ass. So, I had a dream that Andrea's coming out of the bathroom and I'm going into the bathroom and I'm going, oh my God, I have to pee so bad. And in the dream, I sit down to pee. And as I'm peeing in the dream, I'm telling Andrea, oh my God, I just woke up from a dream where I was peeing. So it was total dream inception. And then in real life, I woke up in a panic. Oh, I couldn't even breathe in like that because of my throat. I woke up in a panic because I thought I peed the bed.
So you had pee dream inception. It was a dream within a dream.
It was a dream. I dreamt about peeing in a dream, but in reality, I was dreaming about peeing in a dream.
But you didn't pee, but you got up to pee in real life.
Yes. So my bed was dry, everybody.
So Nikki's bodily functions know no bounds. So we've got the meat sweats. We've got her pee dream. And then we have to talk to you guys about something.
I don't want to talk about this, but I know.
It has to be.
I know.
It has to be shared. Because you're not the only person this has happened to.
I know.
With the sickness. And really, I got the shitty end of the deal. Literally.
But so, you know when something's been really loud and then you're talking and you hear muffled?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking muffled.
Probably because of the allergies.
Yeah.
And so your ears are probably plugged. So we have something in our family that is known as the diarrhea debacle of 2008. So we call it D squared 08.
The name of the story alone is enough.
So
I'm embarrassed.
It's awful. So.
Thank God it's on camera because I'm like hiding my face.
I'm just going to tell this story because it was.
Let me give the prequel of it.
Awful moment in our lives. So let me just. Okay, I'll give the buildup. You tell what happened and then I'll tell.
No, I'm not even going to give any of the good part.
No.
I'm just going to say what happened before all this.
Okay, so let me just say, give our location. So okay. At this point in time, I'm already living in Arizona. Fluffer is living in Arizona with me and Nikki is living in Texas. And so Nikki drove from Texas to Arizona and met up with me and Fluffer. Dave had to work. He was going to be joining us. I think he was flying in.
Yeah, later.
Like
on.
The next day or something. So then Nikki meets up with me and Fluffer. And then the three of us go from, you know, Arizona on to California for Christmas Eve. And we're all staying at our older brother's house. And so that's where this story takes place. Now we're back in California at our older brother's house.
It's the day after Christmas.
It is now like 2 days after Christmas. Okay.
And I went out somewhere.
You went to your friend's house for dinner.
Right. But then after I went, I don't even know what city I ended up in. I went to a bar to meet up with one of my friends to have a drink. At the time I try to hit up like as many friends as I can. I don't do that anymore. And I remember sitting there. And I'm halfway through the drink and I'm like, I feel like I'm gonna puke. And I'm sitting there and I can't even talk anymore. I got the sweats, not the meat sweats.
Just the sweats.
And I'm like, I gotta go. I'm like, what? I gotta go. I'm sick right now. I gotta go. Yeah. It looked like a total lie. I get in my car and drive to our brother's house, clenching my ass cheeks the whole time.
So
I get to his house and I run into the powder room and I am just explosive sick.
So it's coming out both ends.
Right.
Okay. I am upstairs talking to who is now my sister-in-law, but at the time she wasn't. I'm just sitting up there like so tired and I couldn't explain why I was so exhausted this trip. Found out later I was pregnant and didn't know it. But I'm sitting there like Indian style talking to her. Am I allowed to say Indian style? Is that no longer
now appropriate? Now it's crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross applesauce. I'm sorry. I'm sitting crisscross applesauce. Sorry to my Native American peeps. And I'm talking to her and I'm like nodding off like, oh man, I think I'm going to go to bed. I'm like feeling that warm, cozy feeling. I think I'm going to go to bed. This is actually the end of our trip. Because
it was the day before we were going to leave.
Yeah, so we had already been out. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, this is the end of the trip. And I'm thinking, I think I'm going to go to bed because I'm feeling kind of tired. But what ends up happening is our older brother, who literally, this is a giant of a man physically, 6'4", former college football player. The dude is a big dude, but he can't handle any kind
of anything
of any like disgusting situation. And my
I
name
I think he can maybe with his kids now.
Kids stuff is different, maybe. But adult stuff he's like, that's fucking gross, right? So he's screaming my name.
She's upstairs. Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I'm so annoyed because I'm like getting comfortable. I'm like, what? And he was like, you need to get down here. And I'm like, I don't understand. What is the problem? Come here. And now he's got a can of Lysol and he's just spraying it in the air. And I'm like, what is your problem? He's like, you need to take care of your fucking sister because she's he's gagging as he's talking to me. He's like, she's in the bathroom right now.
Wait, pause. They had a little chihuahua that they kept in that bathroom at the time.
Chihuahua. It was like a little dog, though.
Whatever that dog was.
Yeah.
I remember I kicked it out of the bathroom.
And he's like, she's in here. And she's puking. And she's shitting at the same time. I can't deal with this. He was like, you need to go and take her clothes and clean them because Nikki was so sick. She did not make it all the way to the bathroom. And I'm like, why do I have to clean her ass up? Like, why do I? He's like, I'm not kidding. He's like, I swear to God, you better take care of this. Like, he's done. I'm like, oh my God.
You know what though? Pause. I'm so thankful there was a trash can in that bathroom.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has a trash can in their bathroom, which.
That's weird.
I don't trust those people.
No.
If you're somebody that does not have a trash can in your bathroom.
Put one in there.
What's the matter with you?
And put a liner in it.
Oh my God.
You know, people that just have the can and no liner. Yeah. What's wrong with that's weird behavior. I'm
like, what if somebody put like mocos in there? And then now it's on the actual trash can. Sucios.
Anyway. That's so gross. You're just like, you're making me get an orgasm. Anyway, so Nikki's like, oh, right? There was a shower in there.
Yes.
So I'm like, take off your clothes because now I'm going to help her, but I'm pissed about it because I don't want to be in there. But someone has to clean the mess. And that's essentially me. I'm the mess cleaner upper. That's what I do. That's honestly why I was born.
If you were bald, you could be Mr. Clean.
Some parents have kids like to save another kid's life, like, you know, because they want they need the
umbilical cord.
Yeah,
the, what's it called?
Their stem cells or, whatever. I was born to clean up
shit. Or replace a lost child.
Right. I was born to clean up the shit in the family. Literally. So go ahead and laugh. I hope you choke on your coffee. So I grab her clothes and I stomp upstairs. And I'm like, I'm like, oh my God, put this shit to wash.
I would have fucking thrown it away.
No, that's a waste of money.
I know.
You don't just throw things away.
I know. We talked about this with the kids. I won't throw her clothes away.
No, if she goes, So I'm like, okay. So I go, I throw her clothes in the wash. I help her get out of the shower. You know, she changes her clothes, put all like sheets on the downstairs couch. And like
that, I was sharing with Fluffer. It was a sectional.
It was a huge
Fluffer
sectional.
Fluffer was on one. I was on the other.
And
mind you, this went on for a long time. Like, I don't remember like having a break. I know I showered. I think I got sick again after the shower.
But you kept making it into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, you kept making it. So like that was good. So we like lined her with like, had her with like trash bags or like a trash can next to her in case she threw up, and just put sheets on the couch, and she's like, eventually.
At this point, I felt like I had no more organs in my body.
Eventually, she fell asleep. So I was like, okay, thank God. I think it's done. She thinks that she got food poisoning because it happened so fast.
Yeah, and I don't.
You had had
nobody
meat.
Else around me was sick.
And you had had meat.
Probably.
So.
Probably.
So the theory was that she got food poisoning because it just came on super fast. So fast forward to the following morning. So it's like, you wake up. And I wake up to hearing my name just being screamed again from,
I don't think it was like
the downstairs.
Light outside morning. I think it was like still dark.
It was pretty early because we were packing up to head back.
Yeah.
So it was very, very early. But my name is being like hollered up the stairs.
Again.
It's a huge house. And my brother is just like, get down here. Now he's got, I think he had gloves on. Those big like dish gloves. Bottle of Lysol again. And he's like, what? Gagging, because in Nikki's sleep, she got so sick again that she not only puked, but she also shit her pants. And I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do about this? He's like, I swear to God, you handle this.
Your fucking sister.
I can't.
She's on my fucking couch.
And I'm like, this is not my house. This is not my problem. She's an adult. Like, I can't deal with this right now. And he was just like, right? I'm at least not gagging, going, oh my God, seriously. And I think Dave was like, dude, it happens. He goes, I've been so sick like that before. Like,
I
you know, he's like, this happened. I think Fluffer chimed in like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I've never been so sick that I shit my pants. But all right, let's get this going,
oh,
right?
Oh my God.
And Nikki's just like, oh God. And now we have a like super long car ride.
We have a 6-hour drive
ahead of
back
us.
To Arizona.
Man, I plugged her ass with Imodium AD Soma. Like, drink it, swallow it.
I think Dave, fucking
Dave.
I think he went and got like Gatorade or something.
And then I think he gave you something solid to eat. Like
crackers.
You need to take this and you need to eat this. Like, it's going to help you, right?
God.
So there I go, once again, getting all the sheets, making sure that, you know, the couch was okay, while our older brother stands up,
no,
oh my God.
He did have on his dish gloves.
His dish gloves.
And he was Lysoling the couch.
Everything. Every nook and cranny that he
the
could think.
The whole fucking downstairs.
It's just fucking
ass.
And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I was so annoyed. So anyway, we pile it in and everyone's like, Nikki's like the pariah. Nobody wants to be have anything to do with her.
I had my own blanket. Like, they, keep this blanket. I had trash bags for puke.
Yeah. She was just
like, I wasn't allowed to speak, which that doesn't make any sense to me. No, because
nobody wanted her, like, nasty germs, like, in the air. So everyone's like, just shut up, right? Just don't talk. So we make it home in record time. We get back to our house in Arizona, and we banished her to the spare room.
Yeah.
I even plugged the towel under the door, and I'm like, don't you fucking come out, right? Because what starts happening? I'm starting to feel nauseous on the ride home, and I'm like, oh my God, I have whatever she had. She just gave me her virus, right? No, turns out I was pregnant.
Dave gave you the virus.
Dave gave me that virus. I was pregnant with Nicholas and didn't know it, but after she was home, after you got back to my house.
Once it was all out of my system.
She was totally fine. Starving. I'm so hungry. Uh-huh. Oh my God.
That sounds about right.
And Fluffer and Dave were just like looking at each other like, this motherfucker. So that has gone on into family story infamy known as
diarrhea debacle of 08.
The diarrhea debacle of 08. So whenever someone's really sick to their stomach, they're like, how sick? Like D squared 08 sick?
Yeah.
And then if you talk to someone, they're like, oh yeah, it was D squared 08 bad. You're like, that's bad.
That was horrible.
And the only ones that really can feel the impact of this story is Nikki, myself, Fluffer, and our oldest brother. Because our other two siblings were in their homes. They didn't experience it.
I think our sister-in-law.
Oh, and our now sister-in-law. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think our nephew was there too, but he might have been too young to like really, really remember.
Yeah.
Because I think he was on another part of the couch with me and Fluffer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He was at that young age.
Fluffer slept through it and he slept through it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, it was awful. It was like I'm coming down the stairs like, what is your problem? Why are you freaking out? And then you passed this portion of the stairs, was like, oh, holy Jesus, something died. Something is dead.
My soul died down that there. Day.
So, I mean, all of these are things that tie into the holidays. I don't think about Christmas without thinking about D squared.
I was just going to say, since 08, there has not been a single Christmas that has gone by that this has not brought up at least 6 times over the course of the holidays.
And then you meet new people and you have to explain D squared 08, and everyone's face has a look of pure horror, like,
yeah, Mrs. Fluffer comes into the family, oh, let's tell her about D squared 08.
She's got this face like, oh my
Zachums.
God. Yeah.
He heard about D squared 08.
Yeah, and their faces are the same, like, I don't even know what to say. It's like, what is to be said is that there's pure poison living in Nikki's asshole. It was awful. So,
also today is Andrea's feast day.
So for you non-Catholics out there, we believe in celebrating the special day of the saints that we are named after.
And we don't worship them.
We don't worship
saints. Get out of here with that shit.
Don't even, because we're going to get real crazy real quick. So, I was
taking off my hoops.
I had to take my hoops off earlier. They gave me a headache. They were too heavy. I know. Anyway, I was named after St. Andrew. I'm a girl, so my name's Andrea. I then gave my son a middle name after myself, and so his middle name is Andrew. And today is the feast day of St. Andrew, November 30th. So all my fellow Catholics, and I think Anglicans as well, the saints. So today is my feast day. And we were kids, really, really little. For just a really small moment in time, Chapo made a big deal about our feast days.
Yeah.
Like she would buy you McDonald's or something. Eat a cake or something like that. And it was really sweet. So I'm trying to pass that on to my kids.
Are we getting a cake today?
No, he got McDonald's today.
I saw cookies on the counter. That's okay.
No, those are old.
Oh, damn it.
No, we got to get ready for Christmas. No more cookies. But anyway, so we wanted to give another side. We did our horrible holiday episode of just these horrible experiences from the holiday season. But now we wanted to flip the script and talk about Happy Christmas. Plus, I love that the Brits say Happy Christmas.
I know.
I think that's so adorable. Our sister-in-law's family is all from England. And
when they come in, they say, Happy Christmas.
Actually, her grandmother came in the door one time. She celebrated Christmas with us. And she walked in and said, Merry Christmas. I'm like, leave. Walk out and walk back in. And then when you walk back in, I want to hear you say, Happy Christmas.
Like a real Brit.
Like a real Brit. She was like, oh, Happy Christmas.
But I'm she like, adjusted because she was like, well, you guys say Merry.
I know. And I like Happy Christmas.
I like Happy Christmas.
So anyway, this is our Happy Christmas episode. So I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. So this thought
we wanted to... Really quick. I'm sorry. We wanted to talk about the things that brought up like the happiest memories for us growing up.
Because you heard all about my bitter ass.
Nikki bitter. Nikki bitter. So many ways.
So I had to be either the year before kindergarten or kindergarten, but I completely remember it. And that's only because I know that our maternal grandfather was alive, our Tata. And... He got me this horse on springs that attached to like a frame.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at that age, that thing looked massive.
Right.
And that thing held on for years.
Yeah.
Even until like Mikey was born and able to get on it still. Right.
Yeah.
But I thought that was like the coolest gift I had ever gotten in my entire life. That actually is still like my top Christmas gift.
Like one of your favorite toys of all time.
Like, I didn't know anything like that existed.
Yeah.
Remember at the time, it wasn't all like technology. It was
right.
Nintendo 64 maybe was like the most technological thing at the time. Maybe.
I don't know.
Atari maybe. It was 80s.
Yeah, I don't know.
But dude, that was like the best gift. I loved it for years and years and years and years and years. And that's like, I think one of my earliest Christmas memories.
That you have.
Yeah.
I was always terrified at the concept of catching Santa in the act. So I wanted to make sure I was asleep right away
on Christmas Eve. Did you think if you caught him, you wouldn't get anything?
No, it was just the idea that it was like in my head. I was like, wait a minute, this guy's been around since forever. So he's either a ghost or like it's a spirit, and all
that's
I know
where your kids get
and I've
from.
Never told them this, but it's totally genetic because they're freaked out by it too.
Was it the tooth fairy who was? It was Nick afraid of the tooth fairy this year.
He was afraid. No. He was afraid of Elf on the Shelf.
Who didn't want just like a month ago? Somebody didn't want the tooth fairy going in the bedroom.
Ah,
they thought it was creepy.
It was one of them, but they wanted the money left somewhere else.
I think it was Nicholas.
I want to say it was Ian. Like, can they leave it? They left the pillow on the piano. God. We have like a tooth pillow. Like, anyway. So I was always terrified of like the actual like catching Santa in the act, but we'll get to that later. My first thing that I absolutely loved about being a kid in the 80s was when CBS aired all of the Christmas specials at night. During the weekday. That was like the coolest thing ever because cartoons were not on at night.
Especially not 24/7 like now.
No. And so it was like, oh my gosh, we're going to see Charlie Brown Christmas.
And Yogi's First Christmas.
Or we're
going to
see Yogi's First Christmas. Or we're going to see a Frosty the Snowman. Or
all the
Year Without a Santa Claus. And it was such a big deal. And I got to say, Chapel really went batshit crazy over Christmas. Like our house looked like an elf came in there and puked.
I was just gonna say Santa threw up.
Like literally, she decorated that house to the point of
there were no more places to stick a holiday decor.
It was everywhere. Right?
I think that was half of what was in the garage.
Yeah, it was her Christmas stuff. There's two ornaments that meant Christmas to me. One of them was she had these three bells that hung
underneath the threshold.
And they played Christmas tunes.
Yeah.
And they changed color depending on the tune, right?
Yeah.
And then she also had this old 1960s sleigh. It was plastic. And it had white reindeer on it. And there was a Santa sleigh attached to it. But it was kind of big. And she would put the snow on her glass tables. And she, when that ornament came out, when I saw the three bells hanging, and then I saw that big sleigh, I was like, oh my God, it's Christmas. Oh, it's Christmas. It's happening. It's happening. Those are like my like earliest memories.
Just to give you an idea of what our house looked like.
Oh my God.
Go into the main part of your house at some point.
Yeah.
And look around. Anything that is a surface.
would be covered.
A pony wall.
Yeah.
A windowsill.
Gone. Yeah.
A door.
Yeah.
Any table, TV stand.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever. Any decor you have out needs to go away.
And it was all themed. Like when you first walked in was her Toyland theme.
Right.
And then when you went into like her like living room, it was all angels.
Right.
And then when you went over, and the angels were always close to the nativity.
And then there was like a coffee table, right? But it wasn't just decorated on top of the coffee table. She hung snow around the back because then under the coffee table
was a
sleeping Santa.
Yes.
And more stuff. So literally
every
inch of the house.
Everything. The kitchen was transformed. Everything was a decoration like everywhere.
And then the tree colors changed the year.
It was never the same.
So this year it could be gold and red.
Right.
And the next one it could be blue and silver.
Right. There was one year, I don't know if you guys remember those Christmas lights where when they heated up, they would like bubble, have that liquid inside.
Oh, I totally forgot that about those.
Yeah, man, she went bat like ape shit over those decorations. They were so cool at the time. I remember just being like, oh my God, this is like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really serious about it. So when she asked you to help her decorate, it was like, oh shit. Because you couldn't just like, you know, I see parents and their kids help them decorate the tree and the ornaments are hung all shitty.
Uh-huh.
She'd be like, what is that?
Oh yeah, no.
Uh-uh.
There's Chapel pulled out military style.
Oh yeah, like, there is no like, oh, just let them explore.
But it was the prep too. We had to clean like the frames of the table.
Oh God,
the
everything.
Glass. But once the tops of the table were covered with snow,
we didn't have to.
I know we didn't have to dust
the
top of the table for a month because there was snow on there.
I know, it was great. It was great. But yeah, that to me was like Christmas when those decorations came out.
We used to go to Midnight Mass.
Okay, that for me comes down later because I'm trying to go in chronological order. But
I'm all over the place.
Go ahead.
And at the time, like, it was like a love-hate. A lot of these are love-hate because I was in my stuffy clothes and I hated my stuffy dress-up clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But that I liked that we did this whole thing with the family all day. And then everybody piled in their cars.
Right.
And we all went down to Midnight Mass
so
together.
Where we lived, not next door to us, but the house, the one house over was our great aunt's house. So in our family, there wasn't like, oh, that's my great aunt. It was just our aunt.
Right.
Our grandmother's sister. So every Christmas Eve, everyone gathered at her house.
And it was a super late dinner. Like
it was, like it started at like 7-8 o'clock because everyone knew that you were going to sit there and eat until it was time to go to Midnight Mass. So imagine walking into this house with the best freaking Italian food of your life.
You could smell the food
because
from the gate.
Our grandmother had 4 sisters uh-huh. plus herself. And they would just come and everybody would bring it. Like they would all bring the stuff. They were cooking all day.
Yeah.
And it's like the minute you open the gate to get into her house, you were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so good. And it was so cool because all we had to do was walk over.
Yeah.
She was just right there.
And it was like pastas and roasts and hams.
I mean,
and
like everything.
So many
and
desserts.
The Italian cookies, the white powdered Italian cookies. And it was just such a big deal. Everybody was dressed up, which I love that.
Yeah.
I as a kid, not so much because you're like, ugh. But when I think back now, it wasn't like you showed up in like jeans or anything.
No.
Everybody was in like, the guys were in like dress shirts and ties or, you know.
At least slacks and a nice shirt, even if there wasn't a tie.
You're wearing like your Christmas dress. And it was like, it was just such a big deal. And then you would just eat and eat and eat.
And you had to get there on time because nobody's saving anybody food.
Oh, hell no.
Like, it's not like now, like, oh, make sure you save
food
for somebody.
Honestly, these women never ran out of food.
No.
That was
no.
what was amazing. How many people would stream through? And then you go home really quick, probably go to the bathroom, freshen up a little bit, and then it was time for Midnight Mass.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting because there were 2 places we went to Mass. There was our parish that we went to school at that we would go to Midnight Mass, or there was our brother's high school in the later years.
I remember the high school.
And there was
school.
Like a small chapel, and you would go to Mass, and you would just see all these people that you hadn't seen in forever. Yeah. And it was just like, it was such a community. And it's funny when people think of Southern California, they see it as just like this big, just shithole of like, how do you know anyone? But when you grow up in this kind of a community, which I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to, if you're from a small town or your family was really involved in something and you're part of this like much larger community, it always felt like you were just, it made the holidays feel so much more rich. So coming to Arizona and not really having that,
right?
That for me is how the holidays have changed in kind of like a sad way, in the sense that I miss that sense of community. I'm slowly starting to build it because, believe it or not, people, yeah. I teach religious education.
Oh, she does. She does.
I mold the young minds in the Catholic faith.
It's scary.
I know, but I'm really good at it.
She got the little girls coming to church in hoops.
They're like, I want to be like Miss Andrea. I'm going to wear big gold hoops.
I don't give a fuck. My mama said,
Miss Andrea said, Jesus loves a sinner. No. I'm slowly starting to build that, but it's not the same. I mean, these are relationships these that are were like built from before we were born.
Yeah, some are like from like Nona that went on to like dad that right. went like, so those are like generational.
But that becomes, and this is really, I've been thinking about this so much lately, the sense of how did our grandmother build these relationships? She got out there, volunteered. She got involved.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, that's where things are starting to change for me, where I was always like, ew, it's too people-y. And now I'm starting to feel differently. Now I'm starting to feel like I want to have the house that anybody's welcome to come and join in the holiday. And
but you're saying that after you asked me for a divorce on Thursday.
Well, that's a different story, but that's, but we'll get to that. So that was such a big deal as kids growing up, you know, and having just such a huge family network.
And two, it's so stupid and so little, but I remember being at that age, right? You didn't want to sit with mom and dad at midnight mass.
Never.
But we had 80 aunts and uncles or cousins to choose from.
I know. So you're like, so, I want to sit with them.
And mom ain't going to be like, no, right? Because she doesn't want to look like the mean person to mass.
Right.
So we just kind of signaled to the aunt and uncle. Like, and they call us over.
And that's where you sit.
And you got the dirty look, but by the end of mass, homegirl forgot about it.
And it was no big deal because you had like your whole family took up the 3-4 rows.
If, yeah.
And you were just like, turn around. Around and all around you, it was such a great feeling. I remember holding my cousin, who is now in her 20s. Our aunt had just had her, and I was like a senior in high school. And I remember holding her in midnight mass. She was so cute and wrapped up in like a white fluffy bonnet. Mm-hmm. And now she's in her 20s.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like amazing, right? But it was, those are the memories that like, it, that means Christmas. I remember Christmas coloring books.
Oh, those were cool.
Like, yeah. Coloring books were just better in the 80s.
Yeah. I don't know. They're activity books. Yeah. There's too much activity.
There's too much, like, mazes and connect. I did like to connect the dots. Those were always fun. That was the only one. But now there's all this, like, try to draw, finish drawing the picture. Like, nobody wants to see this shitty kid drawings. You draw the picture for me and let me color it in.
Why does snowman look like he'd been on crack all night?
How come he melted? Did he do meth?
Oh, is he from AJ?
You got a methy snowman.
He's from Arizona.
Is he from the IE?
Oh my God. Imagine.
Oh God. Anyway.
So I know that I bitched about gift wrapping in the last one, but there was something nice that came from gift wrapping. So we no luck doors in our house.
Yeah.
You could never have your door closed.
No.
In your bedroom.
No.
And, but if you were wrapping Christmas
nobody gifts, was allowed to bother you.
Yes.
Chapel would guard your room like freaking
Fort Knox.
Like nobody go in there and you would play music.
Okay. Yeah. I literally have.
Right.
The door was allowed shut.
Yes.
And it was music of my choice.
And while you're rapping, you could smell our parents were making dinner.
Yes.
And it was almost like they knew that they were giving us a shitty job.
Yeah.
And so it was always the days where we're rapping a shit ton of gifts where like the best dinners you come out and you're like, oh, damn, this is good food. Uh-huh. But I didn't put two and two together until I got older.
Right.
That they were, like, essentially, like, bribing us.
Yeah.
And it worked.
But I was happy just with, like, I was allowed to have the fucking door shut.
Yeah.
And I was listening to what music I wanted to listen to.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, damn. So it sucked because you were the fucking work slaves.
But it was fun because, like, we had a system. Like, okay, Nikki and I would sit, like, across from us. And before you came, it was our older sister and me. What's the common fucking equation?
You. That's because you're middle child.
I'm so pissed right now.
Middle child.
Anyway, but we had always had a system like, okay, I'm going to take these bags and you take these bags. And all the new like gift wrapping gadgets that came out, like when the ribbon cutters.
Yes, she got the paper cutter.
Yes.
And like envelope opener almost and it slid across. It didn't work.
It didn't work better. Yeah, because it would totally tear your paper.
But then
you figured shit out. Like,
we got upgraded to a tape dispenser.
I know, it was a big
deal.
At
one point, instead of just the little thing of tape.
And the bows that when they started having like the sticky tape on them and you didn't have to tape them down.
Or
Chapo liked her packages adorned.
Oh,
so she didn't just want like a bow put on it. She wanted the crisscross ribbon and you had to curl the ribbon.
Yes. Sometimes we had to curl ribbon, or if it was a big box, you had to put double or triple bow.
I know.
Depending, and sometimes bow plus fucking ribbon.
I know. Because she was like a Nazi about that stuff.
Yes.
It was horrible. She was the gift wrap Nazi.
She was.
She was like, look at that ribbon.
Dictator.
And sometimes she'd come in and go, give me the scissors.
Because she didn't like the way we curled it.
Because she'd recurl the bows. But you better believe to this day, I mean, mostly I put everything in gift bags.
Yeah, I think that's why.
I hate wrapping gifts. But when I do have to wrap and I do put the ribbon on, you better believe I'm like, curl. Mm-mm, that's not curly enough.
Yeah.
Curl.
But sometimes if she got the cheap ribbon,
it didn't curl.
It didn't quite.
Not the right spiral.
Yeah.
It had to have the little rivets in it.
Yes.
You could not do it with the silky smooth.
No.
I mean, you could get it to curl, but it wasn't the right kind of curl.
Yeah. It had to have
You had to
rivets.
Have those little indentations.
Like railroad tracks.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh my God. How
but
sad.
I got smart because as I got older and our brothers kept bringing their shit, I started charging them to wrap their gifts.
Yeah, I'll wrap your gifts for free. See, they never asked me because I'd be like, no, I got my own shit to wrap.
I started charging them.
Yeah.
So they had to bribe me with food because everybody knows I work for food.
Right. I work for food
too. And money.
Yeah. The other fun thing, my kids just did this last night, was the whole writing letters to Santa. It was a big deal. You got like the department store catalogs, Toys R Us catalog came, and you'd sit there, and there was only one back then. It wasn't like one for everybody.
I know.
And you had to like sit in a circle and write your letter to Santa, and you're like, okay, wait, I need to do to flip to page 25. I don't know how to spell this.
But you couldn't just say, I want this Santa. You had to talk to him. Like, it'd be like, how is Mrs. Claus?
Yes. How are the reindeer? Yes. We were never allowed to just write a letter
like
say
I
what
want.
It was just like, dear Santa,
you gotta be polite
how are
to
you?
Santa.
Right.
I hope you don't have diabetes from all of them good cookies.
Right. Hope you're okay. Are you fat yet? Because you know that one Rudolph, Santa's skinny. He doesn't get fat until the end. Because he's like, Papa, eat.
Oh,
eat.
Yeah.
You know, right?
But they showed him young too with his red beard. And
that was Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah.
Making tamales is like to this day a huge thing.
It's a headache.
It's a pain in the ass. As we've gotten older, there's a lot more help. So it's not as bad as it seemed when we were kids. Because imagine, you know, our mom had all these kids to take care of, plus she's trying to make tamales. Now
and fighting Bob because he was always trying to sample the meat the whole time.
Yeah. Now it's different. Now it's like we tell the kids, like, we're not doing anything for you. We're going to eat takeout and we're going to be making tamales. We're going to start it this time. We're going to finish it this time.
I think once the family started doing an assembly line,
it got
and the space. Because in the house we grew up in, all we had to work on was that table for a long time.
Right.
They got that little island like later on.
Right.
But it was really cramped quarters like trying to get
and
it
all
done.
And the kitchen wasn't necessarily small. It was just the layout of the kitchen. There wasn't enough counter space. You need a lot of space when you make tamales.
Yeah.
So as the houses got bigger and there was more counter space, there was just more everything. It got a lot easier.
And Chapo is still like the dictator. Like not everybody's allowed to stuff.
No.
Not everybody's allowed to dice.
No.
Like, you're lucky if you get to be a spreader.
Yeah. If you're a spreader, it's probably because you're Nikki, me, or Dave.
Yeah.
Dave's allowed to be a spreader.
Yeah. She let Zach be a spreader recently.
Yeah. That's a new development.
Yeah. But like, other than that, you're going to be the coffee refiller.
Right.
Or you have to run to the store because we're out of olives.
Yeah. Or you have to wash the old husks, like the corn husks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, those are like seriously.
So it's funny you brought up that about food, because I also remember, so we talked to you guys about how we couldn't open gifts until our dad was perfectly groomed and presentable.
Right.
But after all the gifts were open every year, he always made breakfast.
Right.
On Christmas.
Right.
And then there was menudo that I think got made like the night before.
It was always made like the day before. So after midnight mass, everybody would come back to the house, or whoever wanted menudo.
Right.
So it was like maybe an uncle or two would come in. Yeah. Maybe. And you would have menudo.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like the tradition.
But Christmas morning, but it was Christmas that morning, smell of tamales getting warmed, eggs, and menudo.
And there was we had this big, huge picture window that looked out into our yard. Our grandparents lived on the same property, but their house was smaller. And it was like in front of the street.
Yeah.
And there was a huge yard in between the two of us, and then it was our house. So it was that fun of waiting to see them walk up the stone steps that led to our house, knowing like we couldn't open gifts without them.
Right.
So that to me, it was like you put all those smells together, looking out that giant picture window, waiting for our grandparents.
And they never made us wait because they were up and they were ready.
Yeah, they were ready to go. And that was like definitely Christmas morning for us. It was so exciting. Another big thing in our family at the time was the tree. We never got the tree before the 15th of December.
Yeah, because Dad said it would dry out.
It would just dry out and die. So, like, literally the 15th, it didn't matter if it was still a school day.
Yeah, I remember it'd be a weekday.
It did not matter. In the car. It was before the Home Depots and everything popped up. It was a Christmas tree lot.
Right.
And it was like, you go and you pick out the tree. And it was always the younger ones that wanted to go for the tree. Because as you got older, you're like, I don't want to go for the tree. Because you knew you came back. Dad always had, he always got one that was too tall.
Always.
He always had to cut off the top a little bit.
And then the bottom more.
And then the bottom a little bit more. And then they'd set it. But it was such a big deal.
But I remember at the lot, Mom would always say, that tree's too big, Bob.
Yep.
Oh, no. But he wanted like this grand
tree. He wanted the biggest tree.
And he was very specific on what type of tree.
Yeah. Our dad was a Douglas fir man.
Yes.
I grew up to become a noble person. I really like the nobles. He and I had major debates over this for years. I like the thicker pine needles. He liked the spinier ones. And he and I just went back and forth on this shit for years. But the smell in the house was like, oh my gosh, it is officially Christmas.
Okay, so you and Dave have gotten fresh trees.
Yes.
I don't smell it past two days.
They don't anymore. So
what?
We were getting ours
from
Costco, right?
What happened?
I don't know. And that might not be everywhere. Maybe people that have real Christmas tree lots around them, like actual, like they, or people that can go out and like chop down their tree, they might not be experiencing it. One lady told me she thinks that that they have grown, they cut the trees maybe a little too soon. Oh. And I'm like, that shouldn't matter. You should still be able to smell the tree.
So I do have a tip. I have not tried it. My friend's son owns a Christmas tree lot.
Huh?
And she said the day that you get it, doesn't matter if you get it December 1st or the 15th, you put it in a 2-liter bottle of any type of Coke, off-brand Coke, regular Coke.
Really?
Because the sugars soak into the tree and feed it and give it life.
Huh.
And the tree stays fresh longer. And that maybe halfway through, if you think you need it again, you can add another 2-liter of Coke. But that Coke is the trick.
But I can imagine if you're somebody with like problems with like ants or any kind of like buggies.
I don't know.
You really don't want to have soda.
I don't know.
Out.
But that's just what I was told.
But, you know, I can see that. I'm trying to think. There's so many.
So this was, at the time, Andrea and I were so fucking miserable. But looking back over the last few years, we laugh about it. So the first year that Bob passed, Chapo was dead set on having Christmas at her house.
It was only 1 year, that first year.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so our dad passed away, and like a month later, it was Christmas to the day.
So we're like, okay, how is everybody going to fit? Where's everybody going to sleep? So Dave and the kids took Chapo's room, I think. Chapo went with Fluffer, and then Zach and Tonya had the spare room.
And so Evangeline, my daughter, was a baby. She was about 5-6 months old.
So you and I decided, okay, we'll take the living room with the baby.
Right. So Nikki's on a couch and I'm on a recliner.
And Evangeline was fussy that night. You were dead exhausted.
Right.
And I remember, because we had, Santa had to come to mom's house now.
Right.
So I remember I ended up sleeping with her on my chest half the night.
I have a picture.
So that you can see.
I have a picture that I still have. It's dark, but it's Nikki has Evangeline like in her arms, but like off to the side. And Nikki had put like pillows, like we put pillows on the floor just in case.
I like, would never drop a sleeping
right,
baby.
But you never know, right? So Nikki's kind of like, Evangeline's like resting. Nikki's on her side. She has a baby. I'm on the recliner, literally not sleeping. Just going, I'm just going to stay awake all night.
Well then, okay, so we talked about how Chapo converts her house into Santa's throw-up land. Well, some of the decorations that she has are still from our childhood.
And most of them are moving parts.
Yeah.
So she had this toy box.
If everything was on at once, it would be like an F.A.O. Schwartz nightmare.
Right.
And so it's this toy box. It's a chest. And it's open, and when it's on, like, the little characters move, and right. there's music.
Right.
So Andrea and I think we were almost asleep. Like, it was a point that we could maybe fall asleep.
And we're talking now at this point, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Way past that. Maybe 2 or 3.
Maybe 2 or 3. I don't know.
And we hear what sounds like something boiling, like a pot boiling over.
And we're
or
like
a pipe bursting in a
like,
wall.
And, like, we're sitting there, and we're like, oh, my God, it's Dad. Like,
we like look in the kitchen, like, is he boiling hard boiled eggs for dialysis?
Like, what is this? Like, what is this sound? And we're like, oh my God. Oh my God. What is it? And we're
and
like, looking.
I go into that bathroom because that bathroom had the issue with the toilet.
Right.
And so there's a bathroom on the other side of the wall. I go into that bathroom. I'm looking on the floor. There's no water. We cannot figure it out to save our lives. What ended up happening. That old ass decoration.
Chest, right.
It did something to the battery.
It was the acid from the battery.
Just started bubbling and
like
leaking.
Boiling over. And that was the sound that we heard.
In the night.
Yeah.
That was a horrible sleepless night.
It was an awful Christmas.
So uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible.
The kids were in heaven.
Yeah.
Because one of their great uncles, our uncles, sent reindeer food.
Yeah.
And so it was like this mixture of like oats and glitter and something else.
Yeah.
And you put it out at night. Well, the kids think the reindeer, when they land, have a snack. But in reality, the birds in the morning eat the oats. Right. And so the kids think Santa ate his reindeer food. But it was a horrible night. But it was
very memorable. And for any kids that might be listening, the reindeer don't land on the ground. They land on your roof.
Right.
So we put the reindeer food on the ground. So don't worry. We're not trying to gyp the reindeer. But if you want to leave.
Any kid should be listening to this.
But you never know.
If you're letting your children listen to us.
Bad.
You.
Bad parent.
Horrible. Our own children don't listen to this shit.
The other big fun thing that went along with breakfast is that there was always music on the stereo. My mom would immediately put music on. So there's Christmas music blasting. And the fun job, and
Bing
it depended
Crosby
on
equals Christmas.
Right. And it depended on your age. But you got to pass out the gifts. Mm-hmm. So there's so many of us, and there was just mountains of presents. And you know, I think it's important to note that really isn't
what Christmas is about.
I mean, for kids, of course, I think kids love to see. They get excited. They don't even care what they get.
It's just a gift.
And it's exciting. But for us, it was everyone had their place where they sat. And as we grew up and we had like boyfriends and girlfriends that would, you know, come over for, you know, Christmas gift opening or
spend the night because of whatever.
Whatever. We started doing secret Santas as we got older and had jobs. And now we got to like, you know, have that whole thing going. Our kids pick secret Santas between the four of them.
Yeah.
And they love that, the idea of, that today. I know, we love the idea of like the Secret Santa. We passed that on.
But then we started doing White Elephant.
Right.
So last year was like our first official White Elephant. Here. And that was freaking fun.
That was fun. That was good. I can't remember, but I think I got a good gift.
There was a lot of gift cards, a lot of good gift cards.
Yeah, there was good stuff.
And then there was
the I think Chapo actually got the White Elephant gift.
What did she get?
I can't remember, but it was bad. It wasn't a good one. And she was all pissy about
it. What was it? Damn, I'm going to have to go back and look at pictures
I
now.
I know. But we had fun. Like, those traditions were fun. And then, after you have this great Christmas Eve and this great Christmas morning, we went on to our grandmother, our Italian grandmother's house now for Christmas dinner. And that house was, again, packed
to the gills.
People. She was the kind of woman that she didn't want anyone to spend Christmas alone if they didn't want to.
Any holiday alone.
Any holiday. Mother's Day, Easter. It didn't matter. She had that kind of house where the more the merrier. She had a soup that she used to make. I think it's called stracciatella. And it's like an egg soup. And she only ever made it for Christmas. It's like egg and cheese. And it was so delicious. And the food in that house, again, like you walk in and you're just like, oh my gosh.
And like you had to park down the road.
Yeah.
Like, cause there were cars so lined many up cars. The street. Yeah. And neighbors' driveways. Like, remember they yeah. parked like across the street, yeah. the neighbors' driveways. Yeah.
And it was always, just a house full of like warmth and food.
And it wasn't, we didn't really like, it wasn't really like a gift thing.
No.
It was just like, just. To tons go. And tons of people.
She had this huge plastic nativity that was at the top of her brick steps.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you saw that up and she had these two big candles, like her decorations that uh-huh. were out. And you walk in and it was just this feeling of like, it's the only her way I can describe
eggnog
it.
Eggnog from scratch. Yeah,
I can only describe it as walking into that feeling of like a warm hug, like, with the scents and all the people that were there, only to go back a week later and do it all over again for New Year's Eve. Because yeah. she had a massive New Year's Eve party.
And then I always thought, right, one of those things, right, where we talked about there were words we knew in Spanish right. and thought they were English.
Right.
I always thought everybody had like family priest.
Like, that they like were, it's a family priest.
Yeah. yeah.
No.
No.
no. That was us. I mean, these memories go on and on. So sometimes when I think about Christmas and I get a little like sad, I think sometimes I do miss that part of our lives where it really did feel like the family was really all together. And the matriarchs of our family, because they were all matriarchs. All these women were widowed young, or they were the driving forces. Even if they were married, they were these like magnetic personalities, and they made the holidays something that was just like everybody was involved. And so as you were dating and it came time, like, hey, it's the holidays at my family's house. It's kind of a big deal. Now,
and it's kind of loud.
For me with Dave, it was different because Dave's family is exactly the same as ours. Huge family.
Lots of food. If you don't eat, you insult somebody.
Yeah, the same kind of like everybody is welcome. And so for him, it was like, yeah, okay. Only it was just a different culture, but it was the exact same gathering.
Mm-hmm.
But as you got really serious about someone and like you brought them over, it was like, so you have to prepare people. Like, so what you're about to walk into right now is not a quiet like family dinner at the dining room table.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of people in there.
It was noise and chaos.
But it was happy chaos.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There was always like a mountain of dishes.
With a nun at a sink washing.
As a family friend. She was at the sink washing the dishes. And you know, there did come a time where you're starting to get through those like more rebellious years of your early 20s or late teens. You're like, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore, because you kind of went through that. But then it's not until you end up having a family of your own that you start to go, okay, I want to start kind of creating this again somehow.
Well, I think too, there was a lot of innocence.
Yes.
In it with our youth. We didn't know a lot of things in terms of family dynamics.
Right.
So then as you get older, then it's kind of like.
Yeah, the family dramas come in.
Yeah, and you start to find out truths. And so it's like, okay, well, it's a good thing then that we have our own families and we can do our own traditions.
And I think the key is not to lose sight of the good parts.
Right.
About, it's not like you have to completely turn your nose up at family tradition. I think it's a great base to have. And then you go on and you fine tune it to how it fits your life and your family. Because those are some of the warmest, happiest times, literally, of my life, where it just felt like the whole season was exciting. I never knew that people actually went to the movies for Christmas until I was an adult.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And I had like a friend and I was like, oh, what are you guys going to do tomorrow? She's like, oh, we're going to go to the movies. I was like, huh?
Where? Who? We did that a couple times.
I'm like, the movies are open on Christmas? I never went to the movies on Christmas.
I went with one of our brothers.
No. I'm at the end of the night, maybe. Because you're like, oh, let's go watch. That's different. This was like what they did.
Yeah.
It's actually one of the busiest movie days of the year.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You're going to the movies? And she's like, yeah, we do this every year. Like, we just, my family gets together. I'm like, all of your family? She's like, all of my family. There's five of us. I'm like,
Oh. Did you feel like my big fat Greek wedding then?
Kind of.
I have 30 cousin Nickies.
Yeah. I've got like 26 first cousins. Like, yeah, that's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of like that moment of like, what?
Yeah.
Weird.
Not everybody is like these huge, loud, booming.
Yeah. And there's times where Dave and I say that we're going to take off 1 year. And we always say we're going to go spend like Christmas in Vermont. 1 year. We're just going to leave and just have a quiet,
like, quiet Christmas.
And I told him, I go, what's going to happen is we're going to go and our kids are going to be miserable.
Are you going to look like Rosemary Clooney?
No. Our kids are going to be miserable. Like, this Christmas sucks because they now are like, Ian was crying last night.
Why?
He was like, Mom, I feel like everything that I love, everything that's fun has just been taken away. He's like, I miss the family in California. He's like, I miss going to visit. You know, he hasn't seen his grandpa and Nana.
In over a year now.
Yeah. He misses all his aunts and uncles. He misses his cousins. He's like, every year.
He's a guy that feels deeply.
He's like, every year people are coming into town and now no one's coming. He's like, it's just all the fun is gone. And I was like, baby, this is like the world right now.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not going to last forever. Uh-huh. But I mean,
Now you have them used to that.
Yeah, now our kids are like, where's the big, like, family party? Where's the They live for that shit.
Yeah, because your niece has been like, are we going to California? No, we're not going to California.
Yeah.
But, and now it's like, I get, like, the joy in, like, the smaller things, too.
Right.
So, like, because we both work, Christmas morning is a morning that we're guaranteed, like, we're both home. And we get, like, excited to see her come out and see what Santa got for her. Like, now it's all those little things.
And on the flip side, because I am the wife of a first responder, there's a whole lot of Christmas mornings without Dave here. And that, I think when it first happened, I was really sad. Like, I felt that kind of, like, this sucks. I videotaped everything for him. But then you just get busy with the kids and you're just, you stop being so sad and you start like appreciating the days that he can be here.
Right.
But Christmas morning at our house looks different every year, depending. I mean, he hasn't been home for a Christmas morning in.
I think next Christmas he said he's home.
I think next Christmas. I think he's missed the last 5 years of Christmas morning, the actual day. He came home Christmas. He's always home. I'm sorry.
He always works
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, because last year he misses Christmas morning,
so he doesn't get to see like this. Like,
I think last year you said he got home at like 9 or 10 or something.
Yeah, he doesn't get to see them like come out to Santa. But he's home like one of the 2 days. But still, our kids always are excited, and we try to just carry on and create new things like. Fun things for them to do in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Christmas movie night, we're going to host like Christmas like movie and pizza. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do cookie decorating at Nikki's house. And you take them to see the lights and you do all these things because the bulk of our family is In California, it's hard the times when we can't get together like this year. Is going
to
be
and different. I remember like Dad used to drive around for Christmas lights, right? Bob was always up for an adventure.
Right.
So now we do that with Antonia.
Right.
Except this time we paid to go see nice lights.
Right.
But no, totally. 100%. Let's tell them about our divorce.
I forgot why we're getting a divorce again.
Well, we were in the kitchen talking as a couple.
Dave, and myself.
As a triple. Mm-hmm. And something happened and you were like, oh yeah. And you pointed to you and Dave and said, this isn't working for us. We want a divorce from you.
I forgot what it was. But
after that, then I find out that he makes Chapo the sandwich I've been wanting.
So there's a sandwich that Nikki just loves. Okay. And she had it at a fire station one day. We went and it was like Dave's last day at this station. He'd been with this crew for like 6 years, I think. And he was changing stations. So it was a very big deal with this crew. So I was like, you know, Nikki, you want to go with me?
You know, it was me, you, and the girls.
Yeah. The boys were in school. So one of the firefighters made this sandwich and it was like ham and sliced pears with like jelly and melted cheese. And it was just this delicious sandwich, right? Nikki's been wanting it forever. So on Thanksgiving Day, as Dave and I were preparing like the food, Dave was like, I want to have a nice lunch. And I'm thinking of making that sandwich, but instead of ham, we'll put turkey with the jelly and the sliced pears. Like, oh, that'd be really good. I forgot Nikki wanted it. Dave remembered. He was like, dude, Nikki's been wanting this sandwich forever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I started laughing. I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. We then tell Chapo, Nikki's been wanting this sandwich forever. Don't tell her you had it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I come in. I know nothing.
Knows nothing. We're sitting down and Chapo says, oh my gosh, I had the best sandwich for lunch. And Dave and I look at each other and Dave kind of like pivots on his heels and looks at me and goes, oh shit. And I was like, I just busted out laughing. I couldn't even hold it in.
I'm listening at Chapo like, oh, where did she get this sandwich from?
Right.
And she starts just, as soon as she said jelly and pear.
Right.
I looked at you and Dave. And fucking Dave has his head down into the ham or turkey. Whatever and the fuck I'm just doing. Like,
I think I went in the pantry.
No, you said, Mom, you are so mean.
I said,
I told you.
I'm like, you're evil.
Do not talk to Nikki about this. And she was like, what?
She says I'm doing air quotes here, forgot.
Yeah. And then I get served with fucking divorce papers, which is fine. Now I want a divorce
too. Yeah, we were just saying that this wasn't working out for us anymore, that we feel that we need to divorce in the trio. She's like, well, we're going to be taking a long break soon. We have our hiatus, but whatever. I can't remember what it was about anymore. It might be on the grounds of the pear sandwich
thing. Probably.
You didn't get.
Anyways, I hate my sister. If there's a topic.
Wait. So, you know, we hope that this episode, you know,
rectifies our bitterness.
Not even, but like spark. Sometimes and all too often, I hear people say, I can't wait till the holidays are over. I know that I have been.
Oh, Zach was saying that all day
yesterday. I have been in the habit of saying things like that. And there's something different about this year. I think in me trying to kind of take a different perspective in life. And I hope that if you're feeling that way, I can't wait till the holidays are over, that there are some memories somewhere that you can cling to embrace the season and make it a happy one. Or if you really don't have any happy holiday memories that you can think of, that you use this year as the year to start to create your own. Because, I mean, why look forward to something being over? We only get so many. And then we gone.
That's like on a coffee mug.
It's true, though. That shit's real. So that's it. We hope you enjoyed our little happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. If there's a topic you'd like to hear us talk about, slide into our DMs and let us know. Also, if you're following us on iTunes, head over and leave us a comment. We love reading what you have to say. Unless it's bad,
then keep that shit to yourself. Do not forget to like, share, and follow. That's all for this week. Vaya con Dios. Stay safe. Wear your masks. And take your vitamins like good little Hulkamaniacs.
Now get the fuck out.
Peace.